بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this immense blessing for allowing our ears and our hearts to hear these very blessed words that emanated from the heart of an arif billah, a knower of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he left this great work behind for those that want to tread the path and to draw near to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah that this great text, the Hikam of Ibn al-Ta'ila, is one of the great works of the spiritual path, wherein that we come to know that something of its reality so that we can that tread the path, inshallah ta'ala, and to become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of the path. Hatta uhibba, until that I love him. And after all of the effort and the performance of the obligations and the avoidance of the prohibitions and doing what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what happens in the end, is that hopefully that we become beloved to him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And we have reached the 97th and the 98th aphorism. And inshallah ta'ala, we will do two of them in this session, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, because they're related. And this is where Ibn al-Tayla radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa nafa'anha bih, that he says, ni'matani ma kharaja mawjoodun anhuma, wa la budda li kulli mukawwinin minhuma, ni'mat al-ijadi wa ni'mat al-imdad. And this is one of the oft-quoted aphorisms. So this could translate, there are two blessings. No existent thing is without. And every created thing must have. The blessing of existence and the blessing of sustenance. And then the 98th, أَنْعَمَ عَلَيْكَ أَوَّلًا بِالْإِجَادِ وَثَانِيًا بِتَوَالِ الْإِمْدَادِ. He bestowed his blessings upon you first by bringing you into existence. And second, by sustaining you continuously. So this aphorism essentially is about the two great blessings that are associated with all of creation. Or you could say the two great blessings from which all other blessings are received as a result of these two. And so let's look at a few of these words. So it begins by ni'matan. This is in the dual. Of course, Arabic has the singular plural, but it has the dual as well. Ni'matan. So a ni'mah is a blessing. And the ulama define a ni'mah as ma yuhmadu aqibatuha, is that which has that praiseworthy end. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ غَيْرْ مُلَائِمَ لِطَبْعِ الْبَشَرِ. Even if it doesn't correspond to what we incline towards. And so there are many things that are blessings. And there's oftentimes things as well that are hidden blessings. And so this is a blessing, is that which will lead to a praiseworthy outcome. And that could be here in this world, but most importantly in the hereafter. So here, what are these two blessings? Ni'matan. Ma kharaja mawjoodun anhuma. So the word mawjood is for any existing thing, any living being, any creature, anything in existence. And here, the way that this is phrased, that there are two blessings. No existing thing is without. Ma kharaja anhuma. That literally that they can't be separated from them or can't part from them. And then to further emphasize this meaning, wala budda li kulli mukawwinin minhuma. So this word mukawwan, that comes from the root word kawwana yukawwinu, which is to create. Mukawwan is something that is created. And so wala budda, simply must, or that inevitable, is that wala budda li kulli mukawwinin minhuma. So every created thing must have what? These two blessings. So there are two blessings. No existent thing, something that's mawjood, is without, and every created thing, yani every mukawwan, must have. What are they? Ni'mat al-ijad wa ni'mat al-imdad, the blessing of ijad. So when we translate that as existence, it's doing the best you can, understanding the limits of translation. It's actually a causative verb. Ojad yujidu is to bring into existence, to bring into being. So if you would do a literal translation, it would be the blessing of being brought into existence. And then ni'mat al-imdad, that the blessing of being actively sustained. But it sounds better in the more simple way when you just say the blessing of existence and the blessing of sustenance and then explain it further. So that's 97. Then 98, an'ama alayka. So an'ama yun'imu is to give a blessing. And Allah, of course, is the mun'im. He is the giver of blessings. So an'ama alayka, he bestowed his blessings upon you, awwalan, first, bil ijad, by bringing you into existence. Wathanian, and second, bi tawalil imdad. Tawali here means continuously, yani uninterruptedly. And then we have this word imdad. This is a very important word. And amadda yumiddu, the verb that is the source of this mustar. Some say the mustar is the source of the verb, but here that the imdad is. Amadda is to help, to aid, to assist, to support with, or to provide for. And so what we're clearly seeing here is that these two blessings, i.e. the fact that Allah originated us and brought us into existence, and then continues to sustain us, without these two things, nothing would exist. No human being, no creature of any sort, no animal, no plant, no inanimate object, nothing in the plant or mineral kingdom or anything else. None of this would exist. So this is one of the great reasons that he points us to these realities, is the importance of these two great blessings. And as we will see, some of them say that the first is a manifestation of his name, Ar-Rahman. And the second is a manifestation of his name, Ar-Rahim. And they differ about the manifestations of both of these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us everything in existence, these two blessings. So ni'matan ma kharaja mawjudan anhuma wa la budda li kulli mukawwan minhuma ni'mat al-ijadi wa ni'mat al-imdad. There are two blessings. No existent thing is without, and every created thing must have the blessing of existence and the blessing of sustenance. So let's look at some of what the shurah, the commentators, have said to bring these meanings out a little bit more in hopes that we can put them into practice. And so he said Ibn Ahmad ibn Ajiba, the ni'mah of ijad, the blessing of being brought into existence. فَهِيَ الْإِظْهَارِ مِنْ عَلَمِ الْغَيْبِ الْعَلَمِ الشَّهَادَةِ Allah Ta'ala brought us from the abode of the unseen to the abode of the seen. وَمَنْ عَالِمِ الْأَمَرِ From the abode of the command, إِلَى عَالِمِ الْخَلْقِ To the abode of creation. وَمَنْ عَالِمِ الْأَرْوَاحِ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْأَشْبَاحِ From the abode of the spirits to the abode of physical bodies. وَمَنْ عَالِمِ الْقُدْرَةِ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْحِكْمَةِ And from the abode of power to the abode of wisdom. وَهَكَذَا There's all kinds of different ways of referring to this reality. But ultimately, it relates to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that tells us that that in relation to the human beings, that لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا There was a time where that something that was never mentioned. And that there was a time where no one knew us whatsoever. Just rewind that 5 minutes before you were born, let alone that that a year, 5 years, or 20 years, khalas. Yani we were lem yukun shayin madhkura. Human beings were that something that was never mentioned, i.e., no one knew about us whatsoever. And then we all of a sudden we come into the world. That is very humbling to think about that. That we were not here yet. And even though Allah Ta'ala created the spirits before the physical bodies, we didn't emerge into this world. And so the blessing of being brought into existence is an immense blessing and a manifestation of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman. And one of the scariest things of the human being, to the human being of all, is to ponder non-existence. Not necessarily as a concept, but insofar as it relates to us. Just imagine never existing. Wow. Like you never were brought into existence. There's no you. And we all know what that means in relation to our own selves. But there was no Salik, there was no Khalil, there was no Amir. Just imagine there was no one that we could attach that name to such that we know these people. I can differentiate Salik from Khalil because I know that's Salik and that's Khalil. Why? Because there's an essence attached to that name and we know they're different. But imagine just never being created. La ilaha illallah. That is a really scary thing for us to think about that. And everybody at the depth of their being, when they get in touch with the fitrah, even if they try to deny it, understands that. Everybody understands this, the immensity of this blessing. Even people that suffer here in this world and to go through that immense difficulty. Even people that actually take their lives because of how much they're suffering here in this world. Everybody deep down knows the immensity of this blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we enter into this world. And human beings naturally are weak. And we are entirely incapable and unable to do anything without the power of Allah ta'ala. So in relation to our existence, لَمْ يُكُنْ شَيْءٍ مَذْكُورًا. There was a time that we were something that was never mentioned, يعني. And then after we brought into existence, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَصَرٍ. We have no strength, and that no one can really help us other than our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala can help us. And so what's clear here is that Ibn Atta'illah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the great reasons he's mentioning these two blessings, he wants the human being to be ever aware, and the one traveling the spiritual path to be ever aware, that all of the various blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, with all of their diverse classifications, ultimately, the foundation of all of them are these two. Everything in creation has these two blessings associated with it. And of course, most importantly, human beings. And so every other possible blessing that we can get, were we not to have these two, we wouldn't have any of those. And then some of the commentators start talking about the special nature of the human being and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability, because of the way that opposites relate to us, to attain that which other beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created have not attained. And when we speak about this in the discussion of theology in relation to the various classifications of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, and that we know that the elect amongst the creation, i.e. the prophets, is that they're better than the elect of the angels, than angels that are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the elect amongst the creation that are not prophets, the knowers of Allah and the awliya, is that they are better than that general angels. And then the general angels are better than the general believers, wahakata. But the human beings are special, and even though it is the ins and the jinn and the malaika that make up, they're the consciousness of the universe, they are the ruh al-alameen, they're the spirit of the universe, because it is these three beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that he's given them the greatest ability to know him. Now, angels that are in a state of worship, they don't have taklif, a legal responsibility, but the ins and the jinn, the humankind and the jinn kind do. And so it is that they are the ruh al-alameen because of the special ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given these three beings, the ability to know him. And so this is within the possibility of the human beings, and this is why, is that when human beings fulfill their Adamic potential, is that they become better than the Malaika. And the general Malaika, the elect of the Malaika, are better than even the Khawas of the Mu'mineen, because Allah Ta'ala singles out for us to whoever He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that what we recognize there then is that it is from the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brought us into existence, and then He sustains our existence through His mercy, and that it is this being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when we recognize that, this opens up the door for us to be able to use the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to draw near to Him. And this is one of the very beautiful things Hujjat al-Islam Imam al-Ghazali mentions in the Ihya, when he speaks about the topic of shukr, of gratitude. He says, every blessing ultimately is a door to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about the way we're inundated with blessings. All of these blessings, every single one of them, individually and collectively, are all a door or doors to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about the blessing of the eye and how we can use it to draw near to Allah, the blessing of our ears, the blessing of that wealth, the blessing of everything we've been given. Everything is a door. If that we embrace them and see them as coming from their true source, which is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And here is that they speak about what is called the Madad al-Hissi and Madad al-Ma'nawi. Or Imdad al-Hissi wal Imdad al-Ma'nawi. And that the Hissi is the physical blessings that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives us. The Ma'nawi or the spiritual. And so that none of these are possible were not to be brought into existence. Just as when we attribute attributes to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has the attribute of will, and He has the attribute of power, He has the attribute of knowledge, of will and power. Is that if there's no life, so Allah Ta'ala is hayat, there's no way for that anything that doesn't have life to have knowledge, will, and power. So if a human being does not have life, there's no knowledge, khalas, they're dead. And that if they have life, but they don't have knowledge, then there's no way to exercise our will if we don't have knowledge of something. If you never know that there's a place called China, it's impossible that you could ever intend to go there. It's a prerequisite to exercise our will, knowledge. And then you might have life, knowledge and will, but not have power. So there's a lot of things that you want to do, but you can't do. You might just want to fly out to the back and come back, right? But you can't. And so you are willing to do it, but you can't do it because you lack power. The point here is that the life that Allah Ta'ala gives us that allows us then to be able to receive that sustenance from Him to do everything that it is that we do. Now, and he says that from the blessings of Imdad and Ma'nawi, some from the spiritual blessings, are the blessings of Islam and the blessings of Iman and Ihsan. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves these blessings for us and enables us to that move up in their various degrees. This is from the great blessings of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when he's speaking of this, he is speaking of it in its most general sense, i.e. is that everything in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation that has these two blessings. But then in the second aphorism, which is number 98, he addresses human beings specifically. So first it's everything in existence, but now there's a khitab, there's an address, an'am alayk. He bestowed His blessings upon you first. Because someone would say is that it seems like what he's mentioning here is the same as what he's mentioning before. But there is a reason he's doing it, because now he is directing this towards human beings. Is that we are the ones, Everything in creation is a submission to Allah. We are the ones that have the ability to not be in a state of submission in Allah Ta'ala outwardly, in reality that no one can ultimately do anything Allah Ta'ala doesn't want them to do. And so there's something that relates to what we have to do as human beings. And ways that you and I need to recognize is that based upon these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is that we need to use them for His sake. And here he emphasizes, after speaking about ijad, وَثَنِ بِتَوَالِ الْإِمْدَادِ, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously sustains us in every single moment. And we know we recite in Surah in Ayatul Kursi, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِينَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Allah Ta'ala does not doze off, nor does He sleep. And it's impossible for Allah to do so. But were Allah Ta'ala to doze off, which is impossible to do so, is that creation would completely disappear. In other words, is that this is impossible for Allah. Allah Ta'ala is sustaining creation in every single moment. And were it not to be that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is sustaining and creating and recreating and taking things out of existence and bringing them back into existence, in every single moment, nothing would exist. And so this is why existence itself is one of the greatest signs of the existence of our Lord. The very fact that we have existence and the way that it seems so seamless is one of the wonders. It's seamless. Everything is just happening. And even as we are experiencing it, we don't experience it like disconnected. It's seamless, the way we move from one moment to another. But the reality is that Allah Ta'ala is sustaining us. And it's from here that the true people of Allah are in a state of ajab, wonder. How could someone deny the existence of Allah? Well, that's what it means to be a kafir. That's what it means to be a disbeliever, is to simply deny what every soul knows is true. To consciously deny and reject the greatest truth of all, which is the existence of Allah. And all it takes is for us just to pause and just go a little bit beyond the surface level to realize that. But unfortunately, we live in a society and time where people are just so preoccupied with that surface level and are just being constantly entertained and distracted, where people don't tend to go deep and people don't want to go deep. And then something reminds them to go deep and they have a moment. Right, because it's our fitrah to want to go deep, to want to reflect upon these things, to want to be aware of these things. But it's very convenient, especially when the nafs is doing its part to keep us distracted, to not have to feel the responsibility of going a little bit deeper. And then people just run away. But that's what it means. If we're just running away from the truth and we're just refusing to accept it, then la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. When reality hits us, la ilaha illallah, it hurts. And reality is not easy for us to bear, even if we're trying to embrace reality and relying upon our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and striving to cultivate the means of faith to learn to submit to the divine decree and to meet our Lord in good state. Even then it's not easy. So what about then if we're that running away from it? When it hits, it hurts, right? And people are devastated as a result. But for the believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists them, and that opens up the doors for them to draw near to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the ways of looking at this is, once we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the originator, He's the Mujid who gave us existence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we know is that we have to dedicate ourselves to Him. فَقْتَضَى لَكَ الْأَوَّلِ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ لَا لِغَيْرِهِ. Is that what this necessitates? Is that we dedicate ourselves to Him and that we belong to Him. Think about that meaning. Is that this is what we want? We want to belong to Allah. We know in reality we belong to Allah. Right? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And that, incidentally, that if we think about that meaning, that those that when they are afflicted with a tribulation, إِذَا صَابَتُهُمْ مُصِيبٌ قَالُوا, what do they say? إِنَّ لِلَّهِ. Indeed, we belong to Allah. The two greatest things that helps us get through tribulations is idrak, perception, realization of our ubudiyah, of our servitude to Him, and that we don't belong to ourselves, we belong to Him, and that we're going to return to Him. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is why, what are we supposed to say when we go through an affliction? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. But not just uttering it with the tongue, being in tune with its meanings. We don't choose what happens to us. That's from the divine decree. We're abid. We belong to Allah. And we know that we're going to return to Him. No matter what it is that we experience here in this world, may Allah Ta'ala protect us and preserve us and ward off tribulations and difficulties from us. But it's only going to be a short period of time. And then that's it. Khalas, it's done. And then once it's done, we move on to the next realm. And hopefully we lived right and did the very best that we can. And our hopes can't be in ourselves. If everyone else will let us down, we'll let our own selves down before anyone else lets us down. Is that our hopes in Allah? What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. And someone was just mentioning this meaning last night about the danger of cutting off the door of tawbah, of repentance for people, where there was someone who that was right helping in a previous nation, previous prophetic community, that trying to help someone live right, trying to help someone live right, and no response. And then that person said, وَعَذِ بِاللَّهِ لَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Allah will never forgive you. Astaghfirullah, a'udhu billah. Anta man? Who are you to say that Allah Ta'ala will never forgive someone? Ahawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And Allah Ta'ala revealed to the Prophet of that time, is that, tell this servant of mine, is that the servant who had committed all of those sins, is that I've forgiven all of his sins. And that tell that the other servant of mine who said this, is that let him begin that all doing good deeds from the beginning. Because he just with that one word canceled all of the good deeds that he'd done up until that point. SubhanAllah. Man qala halaka an-nas fahu ahlakuhum. Whoever says that the people are destroyed, he's the most destroyed. And this doesn't mean we don't point to that wrong behavior. No, you call that out. But to condemn a particular person and to say Allah's never going to forgive you, or to say that you're going to hell, Allahu Akbar, a'udhu billah. Right? We don't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the only one who knows. So the meaning here is that, and takuna lah, is that you and I, that through actualizing our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we don't want to belong to anything else except Him. Ubudiya mahda. That's the word, the way they say in Arabic. What a beautiful expression. Ubudiya mahda. Any unadulterated servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where all of the various chains in that the pulls the different things of this world, of different things that are trying to trap us and chain us up, is that we reject all of that. And that's not easy. That takes time. But this is the goal, if we remember, is that this is what we want. That sidqat ubudiyya, to be that true in our servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our different states. And if Allah loves us, sometimes we got to go through the grinder to get there. May Allah protect us and preserve us. But sometimes we don't think right, we don't do right, and Allah ta'ala sends things our way so that we get there. But it's not the way that we necessarily wanted to get there. And this is why when we do go through tribulations, the very first thing we should look at is, what did I do? Whether it's a health complication, whether it's that a financial tribulation of some sort, or whatever tribulation comes our way, the very first thing we do is we look at our own selves. What did I do? And in the end, we never really know. Is that tribulation a punishment? Is it atonement? Is it an atonement? Or is it a means simply to just raise us in degrees? We never ever really know. But we don't actually have to know. What's important is how we respond. And so when we go through tribulations, immediately we should go back to ourselves and to think, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? And it's likely if we do this over and over again, Allah Ta'ala alerts us and will let us know. And it will come by way of like a subtle ishara, either like, yani, there's inshirah in your sadr, so a meaning opens up your heart, oh, maybe it was because of that. Or maybe just something happens where you just think that it's that, and you never actually know definitively. But the more that we can learn to read these signs, the more spiritually in tune and aware we become. But the key is that we go back to Him and we feel completely broken before Him. And we repent to Him. And that we turn to Him and seek His help. And that Allahu Akbar, that everyone else, subhanAllah, but Allah, that la manja wa la manja minka illa ilayk. There is no safety and there's no refuge that from Him except to Him. And we seek refuge that in Him, from Him. We seek refuge in His rida, from His sakhat, and in His mu'afa, and His uquba. Wa'udhu bika minka. And I seek refuge in You, from You. And what an amazing thing. And that type of servant, Allahu Akbar. That type of servant is close to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we've made major mistakes, that person is close to the mercy of Allah ta'ala. This is why they say when they talk about the various classifications of sins, the sins that we commit that relate to an imbalance of the appetitive or concupiscent faculty, i.e. the things of our desires, are easier to forgive. If Allah wants to forgive something, everything's easy for Allah to forgive if He wants. But we're just talking about in the outward sense. Whereas the sins that relate to the irascible faculty, the faculty of anger, tend to be harder to forgive outwardly, right? As anything's easy for Allah if He wants to forgive. And these are the sins that are like arrogance and that things of this nature. That when that faculty is imbalanced, it can lead to a number of sins. If someone is tried with arrogance and that conceit and things of this nature, and sins that emanate from that, and even envy, and even to a degree ostentation, that in some ways, that these are harder because the person, why, is further from that feeling in need of Allah Ta'ala. And so anything that gets between us and the feeling of need, of being in absolute need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a problem. So the first meaning here is understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who that brought us into existence. And this is the first of the ni'matan. مَا خَرَجُ مُوْشَنَهْمَا وَلَا بُدُّ لِكُلِ مُكُونَ مِنْهَا نِعْمَةَ الْإِجَادِ. And then ni'mat al-imdad. So the first one is that this is so that when we recognize that, if Allah is the one who originated us, which He is, and He brought us into existence, is that how could we let ourselves belong to anything else? It's insane. And totally that irrational. But we're supposed to be rational creatures, but we're not always rational creatures. And that the desires are the opposite of intellect. They're two polar opposites. One is stable, and that the other is completely volatile. And that's the whole struggle of the human being. We're supposed to be rational because we're rational creatures. We're hayawan natiq. But this is why we want to belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. And why? Because that everything that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with is ultimately from Him. And then the second meaning is, so in takun lahu, and here just once you change the particle, the meaning changes. And once we understand the second meaning, i.e., is that imdad, sustenance comes from Him. He is the one who's sustaining us in every single moment and giving us all of our blessings, all of the physical blessings that we need, from oxygen and everything else that we need, food and so forth and so on, everything to sustain our lives. And then spiritually, all of the spiritual means of Iman, Islam, and Ihsan, and everything that we need, and the nourishment to grow, everything is from Him, outwardly and inwardly. And so the meaning there is, in takun bihi, la bighayrihi. In other words, is that we don't, everything that we seek through Him. And that we don't get caught up in the means that would then take us away from Him. So, in takun lahu, that we belong to Him, and takun bihi, is that we do everything through Him, not through our own selves, let alone anyone or anything else. And if someone can be, and yukun lahu, wa and yukun bihi, it's very easy to say, but what a meaning. What a meaning. To belong to Him completely and to that rely upon Him only. Not to rely upon ourselves or anything else. Everything that we do is through Allah. And when we do things through Allah, it's made easy. And this is one of the aphorisms that's actually coming. What is not made easy when we seek it through Him? And that what is not what is made easy that if we seek it through our own selves. If we seek things through our own selves, it's going to be difficult. And actually, if it's made easy, that's even a greater danger, because then it might lead us to be deluded to think that we're actually the one doing something. And spiritually, that is toxic. And so this is what we want from these blessed meanings, is to recognize and to be aware. It's not easy, it's not hard to understand outwardly that Allah Ta'ala, that He's the one who brought us into existence, nor is it hard for us to understand as believers that He is the one that sustains us in every moment. But we want to raise our awareness such that we're aware of this constantly, that He is the one who brought us into existence, and He is the one who sustains us. In other words, is that we want to belong solely to Him, and to do everything we do through Him, completely relying upon Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, as they say here, is that this results in that turning away from everything else. In order to belong to Him and to do everything through Him, we have to turn away from everything else and to completely that have what is called iqbal alayh, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the greatest states that we can be in, which is the state of iqbal. And that iqbal is the state of heart where we are directing our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we are doing whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the door for us to do in any moment. And that La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. That it relates to that remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and relying upon Him and being aware of the moment that we, Allah ta'ala, has placed us in and doing what is most pleasing to Him in any given moment. And if someone is gifted this blessing of iqbal and all of its different meanings, that this is one of the greatest gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of all. May Allah ta'ala bless us to be aware of these blessings, and bless us to be able to put this knowledge into practice in a way that is pleasing to Him, to bless us to be people who are aware, and bless us to be people who that give themselves entirely to our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. May we be lahu, and may we be that do everything bihi, that we belong to Him fully, and to do everything through Him, ya arhamar rahimin, and to be aware of these great blessings, and to show gratitude to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may all of the blessings that He's given us, may we thank Him generally and specifically, and may they be doors for us to draw near to Him. Ya arhamar rahimin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.